We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak. Father, bless tonight everything that we do in our coming together and our rising up, in our songs, in our messages, in our hearts. Unite us, quicken us, send us. We pray with one heart in your son's name. Bless these words. Amen. Many people in Christianity and outside of Christianity believe that we are in last days. It's interesting, it's one of the few subjects that both groups of people are very interested in, and both groups of people gather information and have wisdom about how we're in the last days. And the days that we're in are interesting. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 talks about that, where we call good bad and bad good. We call light darkness and darkness light. We're redefining what marriage is. We're redefining what gender is. We're even redefining what the bathroom is. The holy of holies of human existence, the bathroom, and we're redefining that. These are last days. These are last days. And it seems in much of Christianity that we seem surprised. We're almost caught off guard, blindsided by the audacity of evil. We were ready for the advancement of technology. We were ready for the advancement of education, the advancement of civilization. But no one ever paid attention to the advancement of evil. We didn't see that evil would advance. Paul warns about this in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He mentions 30 characteristics of these perilous times. And in verse 13, he mentions evil. He doesn't really emphasize the existence of evil, because evil was there before there were time. Evil predates time. But he talks about the influence of evil. That's why he says evil men. It's the influence of evil in the lives of people. What we're seeing in the last days is the influence of evil in the lives of people. The word that he uses there, waxes, it speaks of an influence, a growing influence. And the way that it's organized, it's the word that speaks of a growing influence, not in size. It doesn't necessarily mean evil is bigger, but it's more influential. Evil is in places it's never been before. And evil has a seat at the table in places it's never had before. Changing laws and changing countries. That is the power of evil in the last days. It's influence. And if you look at the root word for the word waxes, it's an interesting word, and it suggests a forward motion as a result of striking something repeatedly. I like to think about it this way. Humanity is like a tree. Evil is like an axe. And this axe is striking this tree with blow after blow after blow. And with each blow, the influence of the axe on the tree is greater and greater. And the damage is visible. With every blow, the tree is different. It's altered. It's bent. It's not normal. It's not natural. Every blow, evil keeps striking. In 2015, there were 353 mass shootings in this country. In 2016, there's already 133. Evil influencing people, blow after blow after blow after blow. And on December of 2015, there was a tragedy in a certain part of America. And the New York newspaper, one of the New York newspapers, put this headline up. God isn't fixing this. You may remember the article. The headline said, God isn't fixing this. That headline reached us in Africa, and one of my church members asked me specifically a question I've never heard in almost 20 years in Africa. I've never heard this question before. Is America the last country to lose hope in God? Is America the last country to lose hope in God? And I thought about it. I got angry at first, like the writer of Psalm 73. When you saw the expanse of evil, the popularity of evil, the success of evil. And then I got convicted, like Paul, in Acts 17 in Athens. Moved. And I realized that this is their story. This is not our story. The media speaks about us to us, but they don't speak for us. This is their testimony. This is their message. This is their ideology. This is their viewpoint. This is their evaluation. They believe, and so they speak. And the focus of their message is lost hope. But we believe, and we speak. And the focus of our message is not lost hope. The focus of our message is lost souls. That's our focus. Christ didn't come to stop the advance of evil. When Christ was on the earth, evil still grew in influence. He didn't come to stop the advance of evil on the earth, but he came to win the lost in the midst of evil. He had a greater concern than evil. Evil was easily dealt with. Revelation 12, 8, 9, he dealt with evil. Evil was dealt with in his mind. He was after people. He was not after evil. He didn't pursue evil. He was after souls. He never lost sight of the big picture. In Luke 19, 10, he was after souls. Matthew 20, 28, he was after souls. In Hebrews 12, 2, he was concerned about souls. He promised he would be after souls. And he did. See, Christ didn't come to stop the axe from hitting the tree. He just made another tree. In Romans 11, 11 through 24, he made another tree. And he said, I'm going to take one person at a time from one tree to the other tree. I'm going to use weak, frail, humble people. And I'm going to give them a dynamic message that will move people from one tree to the other tree. Branch by branch, seed by seed, fruit by fruit. So much is being looked at in last days that we forgot about lost people. Remember the booklet Pastor wrote 30 years ago? This little green booklet, Seeking the Lost. I love this booklet. The title alone encourages me. I get confused about what I should be doing today. This is a reminder. Seeking the Lost. And people will say, have you read? Have you seen? Have you heard? But we believe and we speak life in Acts 5:20. We speak truth in Ephesians 6:20. We speak the message of God. We speak Christ in 2 Corinthians 4:5. We speak. We are seeking, but they are speaking. Don't get caught up in what they're speaking. Get caught up in seeking. That's why we give, and that's why we pray, and that's why we go, and that's why we gather. We believe and we speak. We have a different focus because we have a different life in Galatians 2:20. We have a different love in Ephesians 5:2. We have a different spirit in Ephesians 5:18. We are different people in 1 Peter 2:9. We are different. And above the lies and above the philosophies and ideologies, and if you want to sit down and debate those things why souls go to hell, you're welcome. But that is not the mission. Mission critical is souls. This is mission critical. This is mission critical. Everything else is blah, blah, blah. It's like that children's story. Remember it? Chicken Little. He got hit in the head with something and he ran around. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. Some of Christianity is like Chicken Little. The sky is falling. You know what we say? We don't say the sky is falling. We say the king is coming. That's what we say. We say the king is coming. You can be Chicken Little all you want to. We have a call, we have a vision, we have a purpose, we have a message, we have an alpha message for omega times. And I'll close with this. The calamity of our present calamity does not define our eternal reality. Our present calamity does not define our eternal reality. Our calamity is not the mission. We can talk all day about this situation, that situation, that circumstance, and that storm, and this storm, and that problem, and that problem, and they're doing this now, and they're doing that now. Let them do it. Do what you're going to do. It's in the plan of God anyway. Do it. If God allows Satan to do what he's going to do in his plan, what makes you think you're going to stop somebody else from doing what they're going to do? We have a confident God. He's so confident he allows Satan to exist. That's confidence. It's confidence. We believe and we speak. We can pray, we can give, we can speak, we can go. Highways and byways, up front and in the back, outside and inside, back door, front door, side door. We can seek the lost. Amen? Amen.
Thank you. Thank you for that message, for this beautiful art behind me. I appreciate it. I'm amazed how smart some people are. And so fast. It's like, you know. In a way, I'm kind of happy that I'm not that fast, that I'm slow. Because I believe that the truth is very slow. That's why Jesus has not come back yet. Because he is the truth. But the mankind is really lost in its smartness, and it's like a man that is cutting off the branch that he's sitting on, right? And he's so proud that he finally figured out how to do that. And nobody's going to stop him from doing that. But we see that happening because we have been given wisdom from God. And God's wisdom is something that I want to talk about because it's so precious to us. We love it and we are hungry for it more and more. In 1 Corinthians 1:25, the Bible says that the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And I would like to add a little word there just for this message, not to the Bible, that even the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Even the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The disciples, I think they thought that they finally figured out this thing about missions, and they were so excited. Let's turn in Luke 10, and we see the time when they are returning from their mission, and they are so excited because they got some results, and they finally knew what's going on. And we read from Luke 10, from verse 17, 18, 19, 20. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the author to trample the serpent on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Pastor Shadow was speaking about this, things that define our mission or our life. And there are these three things: what we do, what we have, and who we are. And the disciples, like many of us, easily, when we talk about missions, we would emphasize this doing part and saying, we should really do more, we are not doing enough. And Jesus turns it around and says, that's something secondary. But who we are, who are you? Your names are written in heaven. You have eternal residence. That's what missions is all about. You have an eternal residence in heaven. And no one is going to touch that. No one is going to take that away. Jesus put the missing link there. And I think this is his message for us also. And we've been so much ministered to during this convention about this. And I want to just comment on two of the statements that I have heard from Pastor Shala's messages. And the first one, I just really fell in love with this statement when he was speaking about God's style. And he says that we like God's style. And Big Bang is not God's style. God has a certain style, the way how he reveals himself. And I love the way how he has it all together. It's just so amazing. The more we think about it, the more amazed we are. He didn't just send an influence or some kind of a message from heaven, but he came himself. That's missions. He didn't just send more money to the mankind. What a joke that would be. Thanks. But he came himself. And that's what missions is all about. We go ourselves. In 1 Timothy 3:16, the mystery of godliness. When man is lost in his own smartness, God comes so close to him that he cannot come closer. He becomes man. It's the mystery of godliness. Man says, I'm naked. And he's trying to hide from God. It's funny, isn't it? Man is so smart. What is he hiding from God? God is his maker, right? God knows what is behind the fig leaves and what is there. Man is so smart. He's hiding from God, who is omnipresent. Then man says, because he's angry, he says, I'm going to build a tower to heaven. Not because he wants to meet God, not because he wants to know God, but because he's angry. In his anger, he wants to build a tower. And he thinks he's building up, but actually he's probably building down. When you look at the bigger picture, and he's so smart in his ways, and God comes, and even without man noticing it, God comes to this world by becoming a man. Man builds a wall, and this is not a political speech, but man builds a wall, wants to build a wall. God says, I am the door. I love that name of God. Isn't that beautiful? God says, I am the door. Everybody, come. I am the door. Welcome. That's the wisdom of God. Man wants to punish all those who are guilty. And God says, it is my fault. I'm guilty. Is that beautiful? It's the wisdom of God. Man wants to call a fire down from heaven to consume others. And God shows up in a burning bush that doesn't consume. It's the wisdom of God. Man is panicking and he says, we are perishing. And God speaks to the wind and says, calm down. Man says, I don't know that man. And God says, what does God say? Googly goo. It's obvious, you know. This is a funny statement. In all languages, it's different. Kukukieku, kukudululu, googly goo, wow, wow, wow. But the message is clear, you know. I'm still here. And then man says, God, to God, you know, go away, I'm a sinful man. And God says, even if you make your bed in hell, I'll be there to love you. That's the wisdom of God. Even the foolishness of God is wiser than man. I had a visitor, a young man, disciple, was visiting my house, and I had planned to take him out for lunch, so I had received the money, so it was in my pocket, not the pants that I was wearing, but in my room, and we had little study time, and we were speaking about the Bible, and it was amazing, and then I said to him that, hey, I want to take you out for lunch, let's go, and I'm just going to go and get my money. And I went to my room, and the money wasn't there. And I knew that it was there. So the money wasn't there. So I understood that this young man had taken the money. But, I mean, how do you deal with that? So I said, I don't know, like, you know, I really had money here. I don't know where could it go. So the man was a little bit simple. So he said, like, you know, do you want me to help to look for it? I said, yeah, that's a great idea. And in less than 3 minutes, he said, I found it. Oh, so smart we are. And I took the money from him, and I said, don't you ever touch my money again. But that was an interesting moment, because the Holy Spirit was present, right? And the Holy Spirit made it very clear, don't lose him. Satan was present also. And I told him, in your country, your hand should be cut off because of this. But we don't believe in that. And I said, I'll never bring this up again, because Jesus has covered this. Jesus had paid for this. And then we went and had our quiet lunch. And we didn't speak about anything, really. The message was so clear, there was nothing to add to it, really. But it was clear that the Holy Spirit showed that there is so much more to that, what Pastor Schaller mentioned, another principle, is that there's a vacuum that we want to fill with the a cappella, with God's love. And all of a sudden, there was so much more vacuum to be filled. And I love that principle, that because that's what missions is really. We go and we have nothing, but we have this amazing love in us, and we go and fill this vacuum with God's a cappella. And it's so powerful, because God has chosen to show his wisdom through the church, through the living church. What is the testimony of the church? People forgiving people. Isn't that amazing? Where does that happen? In our church. The testimony of the church. Not just God forgiving us, but people continually forgiving people. And not only that, it's also an amazing testimony of sinners living a holy life. That's us. That's the testimony of God's wisdom. Not only that, it's also this amazing love that covers a multitude of sins, continually covering. That's the agape love that is given for us to fill the vacuum. Many ways in mission work, you know, things go wrong. And in many ways, they seem to go wrong.
beaucoup de choses semblent aller de travers dans le travail missionnaire.
Because it is something that is bigger than our lives.
Parce que c'est quelque chose qui dépasse.
If somebody asks, you know, how big is your church?
Combien, quelle taille fait ton église?
And the answer is really that it's so big that you cannot see it.
Que tu peux même pas la voir.
You are just too small to see it.
Tu es tout, trop petit pour voir.
Yes, it's two, maybe it's two people who were taken from the darkness of Islam, and 200 million angels in our meetings worshipping with us. Could that be our church? I live in a very hot country. It's like always over 100 degrees, 120, you know, it's like really hot. And people have never seen snow there. And I want to show a picture. I don't know if we have it. It should now come here. But now, guys, now it's... Okay, there it is. I just want you to...
I think I'm in trouble.
Can you move this one too? I mean, it's a beautiful picture. Look at this picture. Is this normal? No, it's not normal. Is it rational? No, it's not rational. You know what it is? It's actually... you know, snowman in Oman. It's actually five snowmen in Oman. Actually four snowmen in Oman and one snow woman. And this is so strange. You know what this is? It's foolishness. God's foolishness. It's God's wisdom. A lady from India, man from Hungary, another one from Finland. What are we doing? Where are we? Doesn't matter, you know, as long as we know who we are. And that's our mission. Amen.
If you would stand with me, please. Turn to Daniel chapter 12. I want to read two verses. Thank you, Pastor Ronaldo, Pastor Mazzi. They're great men with great hearts. That's why they have a great message. Oh, those lights are bright. Okay. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. And they that be, what? They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they shall turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Then Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Father, thank you tonight, for this is a church with great wisdom, for this is a ministry, sinners saved by grace, yet bringing a message to rescue people in many countries around the world. Thank you, God, that we can be a part of such a work, such a ministry. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for saving us. Just lift your hands to him and just thank him that I'm saved tonight. I've been rescued. I've been rescued. Thank you, Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. You may be seated. There's a painting, since we're dealing, we're talking about Pastor Mati, painter, and sketchboard. There's a painting, I think it's by Joe Zucker, I'm not sure. I would love to have it someday, a copy of it. And it comes from a song by Keith Green, I think, from many, many years ago. And it's a very interesting painting. And it shows what seems to be Christianity sitting on a pier near the water, kind of under umbrellas and sipping what would seem to be cocktails or drinks and eating and conversing among themselves and smiling in their faces. And they all seem to be looking towards a mountain as if God was on that mountain. And then below them, there's a man in a boat pulling people out of the water who are perishing. You can see the look on their faces in the painting as they are going down. And the one in the boat, Jesus, is pulling them out of the water. So Christianity was looking towards the mountain, but God was in the water. God was in the water rescuing people. Rescuing. You know, one of the definitions of the word for salvation, sozo or soteria, it is salvation, and that's a great definition, but the word rescue is there. And really what this ministry of, is about is Operation Rescue, the grace of God. It has been a thought that's been in my mind like since last night, just thinking about our churches, our ministry, and we are rescuing people. We have a ministry to rescue people. You know, if there's a fire in a house, the people that come to put the fire out or the firemen that come are looking for people. Usually the people that die are the ones that go back in to get some of the goods. They go back in looking for things that are valuable to them. Goods. But yet, those things are there and God adds them to our lives. But God is interested in rescuing people. I mean, can you imagine? God has rescued us from hell. From hell forever. If you and I had not heard this message of the gospel, we would have spent, and not responded, we would have spent eternity separated from God. Spurgeon said, the way that a person could become a soul winner would be to hang them over hell for 5 minutes and let them see what it's really like, and they would come away going after souls with such a desire that they couldn't be stopped. But I think that there's been so many things that are going on in Christianity where people have become occupied with so many other things. And we are in Operation Rescue, the grace of God. And you and I have been rescued to rescue others. Amen? We haven't been rescued to continue to save ourselves. And we certainly want to be delivered from the present evil that's in the world. But I believe a person that's been rescued is called to rescue other people. To rescue them. And it's really incredible. I called you to be fishers of men, Luke chapter 5, verse 10. That you are fishing for fish, but you 11 men are going to become fishers for men. Those are first words spoken to Peter and Andrew and James and John in the boat. And I think it's kind of radical. Two of them got out of the boat and left their father. See ya. We're going. And they never returned again. I believe their father got saved because their mother was at the cross. And I think he had to give the mother permission to go from Galilee to Jerusalem to be there. But this is rescue. This is what missions is all about. I was thinking 7.5 billion people on this planet. Think about how many people need to be rescued. And that's not to put anything on us. If we win a soul, Matthew 16, verse 24, it says, what shall it profit a man Hear beyond the voice, hear the message. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? That means, as far as God sees, one soul is worth more than everything in this world. Everything and anything. I was thinking today that there may be a time, I don't know, I would like to just go out before it happens, that I couldn't pastor anymore. But I could always win souls. Amen? I pictured myself one day in the marketplace, sitting in a wheelchair. Maybe I'm not even like able to control my saliva. But I can give somebody a gospel tract and they could receive it. And they could be born again. They could be born again. They could get saved. They could read the tract. We could pray with people. Operation Rescue. Jonah, I sent you to Nineveh. And you are reluctant. You go the other way. But I'm going to meet you on the other way. Put you in the belly of a whale. Spit you up on your mission field. It's called spiritual vomit. He vomited him out. In Nineveh. And everybody got saved. And he was angry. Doest thou well to be angry? God rescued a whole city. Hello? Are you with me? Wow, upper state in New York. What was that? Charles Finney. This is a true story. Finney was just got married. And he was with his wife and they were going on their honeymoon. And he stopped at a store to get something to eat. And he gave the gospel to the store owner. The man got saved. He said, my brother's in a factory. He said to his wife, can you hold on a bit? I got to go to the factory. Went to the factory. The whole factory got saved. And he started this revival. And then honeymoon was about 20 days later. Because Finney, and I know there was some craziness going on here and there. But Finney understood the importance of Operation Rescue, the grace of God. I mean, Judson rescued a whole country by interpreting the Bible in the Burmese language. There never had been a language or a Bible. He made the language by listening to them. He wrote the Bible and he rescued a whole nation, or those who desired to be rescued. It's amazing today. You'll talk to a Burmese person that's born again. And you'll say, you know, I said this to a person once. I was kind of like embarrassed after I said it. Do you know Judson? You heard of Judson? He started to cry. He said, after Jesus Christ, it's Judson. I just know Judson. Because we have the Bible because of Judson. He rescued. To be rescued. I mean, 1.4 billion Muslims. We have a message to rescue them. We have a billion people on the continent of Africa. There's a message to rescue them. It's incredible. There are ancestral worshipers all over China. 1.5 billion of them. They need to be able to hear a message so there's an opportunity for one person to be rescued. Are you with me? There's orthodoxy. There's Christianity that seems to be Christianity, but it's not. They need to be rescued. To be rescued. And here we have the message. We have the heart. We have the ministry. We have great opportunities. I mean, think about it. It's not like there's, you know, 50,000 missionaries and 5 unsaved people. We've got billions, millions of people that do not know Christ. This is what this is all about. And like many other ministries, they're doing their part and we're doing our part to be rescued. Mark 5, a man is rescued from 6,000 demons. Mark 5, a woman is delivered from an issue of blood. It's amazing to be rescued. Jesus came to rescue people. He came to pay the penalty for our sins, to redeem us, to reconcile us to God, to propitiate the Father's holiness. But he came to rescue people. This is God himself. He says, this is what I need to do. You saw the booklet, Seek the Lost. I want to rescue people. That's my objective. I want to rescue people from hell, their old sin nature, from sin, from addictions, from pornography, from alcoholism, from drug addiction, from education addiction. I want to rescue people from fear and from doubt and from human reason and from a religious experience. I've come to rescue people. I've come to rescue people. We have the message that rescues people. We are in Baltimore. We'll go to the market tomorrow afternoon. And it's amazing. And just to be there where you can give a message that people have an opportunity to be rescued. We need to see people in Baltimore, what? Rescued. We reach our city. We reach our country. We reach our continent. We reach our nation with the gospel that says salvation, God is rescuing. We are not looking. We are not looking to the mountain. When is Jesus coming back? I'm not that interested in that. I'm sorry. I'm not that interested in at signs and wonders and trying to figure out when he's coming. He's already come once. He gave me the message, and I should be going to them so they can come to him. To be rescued. To rescue them. To see people get transformed. People all over China, all over Europe, all over Asia. People that they haven't heard. They don't know anything about the message that we have. And I don't want to just look at the mountain. Oh, can I have another one of those lemonades? Could I get a hamburger? I like lemonade, hamburgers, and hot dogs. But we can spend so much time. We're so occupied with that which is going on. And we're not looking to a place where people are drowning. They're dying. Praying Hyde had this statement in one of his books. Oh, I seem to hear them crying as they sink into the grave. We are dying. We are dying. Is there none to help and save? That was his prayer. Cried out. Rescuing people. That's why Paul was so motivated. He was rescued in Acts 9 by Jesus himself. And he said it to be his motivation, his purpose, to rescue other people. It would cost him prison at times, maybe an early death, maybe things would happen. But, you know, to rescue one, to find a Lydia, to find somebody there, to find the Philippian jailer. Operation Rescue, the grace of God. What else would we do with our lives? Somebody said to me, and I know there's older people here, you're getting like near 70. So what are you going to do, in the years to come? I said, are you talking to me? I want to die doing this. I'm not going to find me sitting in some, forget that, you know? No. What do you mean, what am I going to do with my life? Play golf? It's okay. Or basketball? Throw baskets at a fake hoop and pretend that, you know, how it was years ago? No. I want to be praying. I want to be giving out gospel tracts. I want to be led by God to meet people. We want to see people rescued. And God didn't take what you would call the sophisticated, the intelligent people with a lot of money. These Galileans had nothing. No education, no money. You're the guys. Let's go. Let's go. We got a message that says Operation Rescue, the grace of God. You know what? I think a lot of Christians, not here, but in many parts of this world, I don't think they believe in hell. I don't think so. No, they believe in it theologically, but they don't believe in it in a personal application for their own lives. Do you believe there's a hell? Hello? A lot of Christianity doesn't believe that anymore. And that means if there is a hell, and there is a heaven, and there is a Jesus, people need to be what? You know, sometimes I'll hear people talk about, in my country, you know what it's like in my country? It's this and that, and you got to be, wait a minute. In your country, there's God, there's the devil, there's people, and there's the gospel. I don't know what you're talking about. It's all the same. Whether it's China or Finland or this place or that place, people need to be rescued. One time they told us there's a certain village that is controlled by demons. And a certain denomination went there with equipment to do a concert and preaching, and the demons were so powerful, they drove them out of the village and they left the equipment, like the seven sons of Sceva. I said, where's that village? Where? And they told me where. I said, let's go. I said, where? I said, that village. I said, I'm not going to buy that one. And we went in there and we had two men come out of there that got saved and became pastors. Both of them became pastors. People need to be rescued. Sammy Morris, he was 16 years old and he was put on a slab. A stone slab, and he was going to be sacrificed by a witch doctor to his god, and he went to pull the knife off up in the air to kill Sammy Morris, and he died right there. And Sammy Morris started running, and he ran all the way to the coast, got on a boat, made it to America, went to Taylor University, had no intelligence, and he started a revival in America. Little Sammy Morris. Daddy Sammy's here. Remember the stories? Sammy was what? Rescued. And all he wanted to do was rescue people. And he didn't do the rescuing, but he gave them a message that could rescue them. I don't care what the problem is. Government officials need to be rescued. Presidents, representatives, senators, business people need to be rescued. Children need to be rescued. Adults, teenagers need to be rescued. We have the message. I can't just be looking to the mountain. Well, I've been around some people at times, not here, but all they want to do, I had this one person, all he talked about was the end times. I said, you know what, you're boring me to death. Like, why don't you go back home? You're going to be a missionary here and talk, all you talk about is that? What about this time? What about right now? We need to rescue people. This is what we're here for. This is why we have ministries in 73 countries. This is why we have 631 churches. Why? Because we have a vision and a motivation to rescue people. These two ladies prayed, and they prayed 50 years ago. God raised up a man in the Woolwich, Wisconsin area, and that man would be a man of God, a man of the Word, a man of grace, a man of the finished work, and a man with a mission, and here we are. Hello, hello. Hello. Rescued. I got rescued in Acts 9 in 1976. God rescued me. And the day I got rescued by God, I went on the street with a Bible. And somebody said to me, what do you want? I said, I don't know. I want to tell you about Jesus. He said, what? I said, I don't really know. I just know I'm different. He said, that's great. And I don't even know what I'm talking. I didn't have any idea, any clue. But the Bible doesn't say how beautiful is the face or the head. It says how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. Beautiful feet. Wow. Rescued. Rescue Cape Cod. Rescue Mexico. Rescue South America. Rescue the islands. Rescue India, Nepal, Southeast Asia, Japan. Think about it. We've been sent there. Not as ambassadors of this country, and we love our country. We're sent there as ambassadors of Jesus Christ with a ministry of reconciliation to bring forth a message that rescues people. What an awesome purpose to have in life. I wouldn't want to do anything else. If you offered me the presidency of the greatest nation on earth versus doing what I'm doing, I'll do what I'm doing. Amen. Are you with me? Rescue people. Wow. Whoever they are, they need to be rescued. One time I met two presidential candidates, Michael Dukakis and who was the guy that ran against him? Jesse Jackson. I met him in a parade. I walked right into the parade. I said, can I talk with you for a minute? They said, you want our autograph? I said, I want your name written in heaven. I don't want your autograph. I could care less about your autograph. They said, well, what are you talking about? I said, are you born again? You know what happened? One guy said to me, please. The other guy said, could I invite you to the state house. And I went to the state house and gave him a Greek Bible with a man from his own home village. He needed to be what? Rescued. Saved. We are saved to rescue people. We have a mission. It's awesome. We have a motive. We have the love of God as our motive. We have grace and the finished work as our foundation. We have the faith and Spirit of God as our operation. And we go forward rescuing. Let's go to 100 countries. Amen? From 73. Let's have 1,000 churches. Hello. I'm not into numbers, but God was. Acts 2 and Acts 4. So whatever you want me. You know, and if we get one, we get one in Oman. You get one in Oman. You've rescued a person. It's greater than all the paintings in the world. I'm just joking. No. Rescued in North Africa. I have such a burden for North Africa. I got this picture of Morocco where there's 5 people that were converted from that faith. And I keep it in my Bible. It's reminding me about North Africa. God, give us a greater grace church in North Africa, Morocco, Algiers. Huh? Western Sahara. It stays right there and it will remain there. Right there. Because they need to be what? Rescued. Oh, they're so sophisticated. You know, we see sophisticated people, highly educated and intellectual. And we think, no, they need to be rescued. Just like anybody else, whether it's the drug addict on the street or it's a person sitting in some ivory tower running a business, they all need to be rescued. And this is awesome. D.L. Moody was rescued, and he became a rescuer of many by giving them the gospel that could set them free. God rescued us from the rain. People are so worried about rain, like you don't take showers, right? I mean, and if your clothes get wet, you wash them anyway. Wet body, wet clothes, whatever, you know. To be what? Rescued. God rescues us, and he does that, and we are involved with that. And guess what? When we're involved with rescuing people, God rescues us from all those other things that occupy me. That, you know, all the things I think are important to do. They are, but they're not. They're not the one thing that God has called us to do. And that's to bring the gospel to rescue people. To pray. Our prayers are, God, shake people. Shake a neighborhood. Shake a house next to me. Shake a situation. Move in the midst. We're praying like the 2 women prayed. And God raised up a man. And God will raise up people all over the globe to rescue with the message of the grace of God, the love of God, the work of the cross, redemption, reconciliation, propitiation. God is in the business of rescuing people. And that's what we do. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Operation Rescue. The grace of God. Operation Rescue. The grace of God. Thank you. Thank you. The ambulance. The fire truck. Physical rescues. But here we are. With the message to rescue people. Rescue them from hell and death. Rescued. Thank you, God. Thank you. Rescued from just living a life. Rescued from fear. Rescued. Rescued. Thank you, Jesus. Billions of people on this planet. They say maybe only 10% are born again. Maybe 600 or 700 million. That means 6.5 billion people are lost. Somebody rescue. We gotta believe God, whatever churches, whatever ministries around the world. Oh God, would you please send people with the message that can rescue people, even if it's one person. What shall it profit a man? One soul is worth all the world. Help us, God, not to be occupied with the mountain. Not to be occupied with that which is happening daily, but to be occupied with what you are occupied with and then watch you take care of everything else. So we thank you today. If you are here today or you're watching on the internet, you're not Christian. You're not a believer. you're not born again, simply say this prayer. It's not a prayer only, but it's a decision of the will. Save me. Rescue me, God. Rescue me from hell, death, sin, the old sin nature. Rescue me, God. Rescue me. With our eyes closed, our heads bowed, if that's your prayer tonight, just put your hand up. Rescue me. Rescue me. Save me. Rescue me. And help us, God, as Christians in this ministry to be people that pray, have a mindset, have feet that are involved in rescuing people. For what greater enterprise is there for the church than to be a people that rescues, to be an organism that rescues people? This is what we do. Everybody's trying to fix people. We're trying to rescue. We're rescuing them. You can't fix them. We rescue them. And we let God do the fixing. We thank you today. Bless our night in Jesus' name. Amen.